The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here.
Fight the good fight,
I'm the man.
The voice of the people.
Fight the good fight.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Peter Boyle Show on a finally Friday. It is 5:00 dark out there, 24 degrees in Aurora, 23 degrees in Denver. And I'm Randy Corcoran with my final bite at the Peter Boyle's apple for this particular year. Peter will be back here on Monday morning. And it really has been a pleasure. I love these end-of-the-year opportunities to sit in for a few days in a row. And
I have to interrupt. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I have to interrupt.
Did someone turn on that extraneous mic in the studio? Jeff Hildebrand.
If you are biting the Peter Boyle's apple, oh, does that make me the worm?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. Jeff Hildebrand with the news. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. You know, I had this whole opening spiel that I took about 20 seconds to think of.
Kelly, can we back up and start over?
Hit the reset. Hit the dump button. Are you going to talk about these drones at all?
No.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Well, I'll wait.
Okay.
They're just flying all over Colorado. It's bizarre. 25 square miles. In Phillips and Yuma counties, every night for about 3 hours for a week, these pretty good-sized drones, non-governmental, according to the Denver Post, like 6 feet wingspan on these suckers.
Are we sure they're drones?
What are they? Do 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 do. Whatever happened to the Twilight? You get old shows like the Twilight Zone, the original.
It became reality, and people gave up.
Donald Trump was elected, and people didn't need mystery anymore. Or so the left might say.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is there anything to talk about?
There is.
We've got, including today, we only have 5 days until the end of the year. I have a non-news-related question for you since we've gotten off to such an inauspicious start this morning. Is the 31st the end of this decade, or do we have to get through the end of next year to get to the end of the decade?
Yes.
Great. There was an editorial in the Denver Post, Brett Stevens, the sort of snooty, I would say faux conservative who writes for the New York Times now, in his editorial, and it was another, you know, this is the worst of times and the worst of times. Not the best of times and the worst of times kind of thing. Because Trump's in office. But he ended the column by saying, for the pedantic readers of this column, you'll understand that the end of the decade we really can't assess until the end of next year. And that doesn't make sense to me. Now, I guess you would have to go back and figure out, did the calendar start? The calendar probably started in year one, right? But was that at the beginning of year one or at the end of year one? It wouldn't have started at year zero.
So when you have your first birthday, is it your first birthday?
That's true, because we don't start at zero.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. You better do some news now
and
while I try and sort that out.
And I think you said that we can't assess the decade until next year. I wonder if he could possibly mean that you really need 365 days to digest,
to digest
what
it.
Has happened in the last 10 years. And it's probably It could be because he hasn't made up his mind yet about the last decade, so none of us can.
Maybe he just thought, I will make people who are up early in the morning struggling to get their thoughts in order ponder this very question and waste several minutes of valuable airtime.
Okay. Can we go to a break now and I'll just drink coffee?
Jeff Hildebrand with the news.
All right. Major winter storm that dumped heavy snow in Southern California's mountains, barreling toward the plains in the upper Midwest. Forecasters say the storm could dump up to a foot of snow on the southern Rockies. It could create a mix of ice, sleet, and snow across Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas. The metro area expecting another possible shot of winter weather over the weekend. National Weather Service says the system should move into the region late today and last into tomorrow. Metro area could see anywhere from 1 inch to 3 inches out of the storm, depending on your location. Overnight lows expected to dip down into the teens over the weekend as well. This news brought to you by Prestone Antifreeze. How appropriate. This winter, you can keep your car running with Prestone Antifreeze. Only Prestone's superior formula works immediately, protecting your engine from the elements to keep your engine running better. So choose Prestone today. Special statewide DUI enforcement starts today ahead of the New Year's Eve. Last year, more than 330 impaired drivers were arrested during the special enforcement period. People, you are encouraged to take advantage of discounted or free rides home if you've been drinking.
And yet in the newspaper, on the front page of the Denver Post, we have this whole above the fold, more than half, but not quite the full front page, talking about the cannabis industry in Colorado and how we're falling behind California, with a beautiful color picture of somebody smoking a bong.
Oh.
I was always against the legalization of pot as a social issue. I get the libertarian argument, and I agree it's a states' rights issue. It was just a bad, bad idea. And the Denver Post has tried to monetize that thing like crazy. Weld County launches a new anti-pot campaign, and the pot sellers come out in... That's a study that's been... What do they call the Ukraine theory? It's been a come on, help me here. It's Friday.
No, I'm enjoying this.
Well, I'm going to put my lawyer hat on right now since you mentioned the DUI statistics, because I have really good advice for people today. Don't do it. Uber, cab, drink at home if you must. Drink. Anything else for you?
If you're going to Lyft or Uber?
Debunked. Why did you not help me out with that? You know that the Ukraine theory is, according to the leftists in charge of most everything except the country right now.
Yes.
That it's a debunked conspiracy theory.
You know, it's because it's so early and my brain was just fried, and I thought debunked meant getting out of bed. You're out of the bunk.
Yeah. Were you in the military?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Moving on.
As quickly as possible.
Fort Lupton Police Sergeant Christopher Pelton, who was, as you recall, was shot earlier this month, expected to leave rehab today.
I didn't recall that.
He'll begin outpatient therapy. The suspect, by the way, is facing charges of attempted first-degree murder.
Oh, this is the guy up in Lakewood or wherever.
Yeah.
That was what the heroism of these guys every single day, just to put on the badge and go out, is incredible.
Right. Definitely. Well, this will hit close to home for you. A Republican group going after Colorado GOP Senator Cory Gardner to demand that witnesses be called during the Trump impeachment trial.
A Republican group.
A Republican group that's called Republican for the Rule of Law, And they put up billboards along I-25 in Douglas County this week. A billboard shows four potential witnesses with duct tape over their mouths, while an image of President Trump is shown in the background with his finger over his lips.
Let me guess. Go ahead.
No.
No, go ahead. Finish the story.
Similar billboards running in about a dozen states, not just Colorado, in hopes of pressuring GOP senators to allow witnesses when the impeachment charges move from the House to the Senate.
Did you just say witnessers?
Witnessers.
And I'm sure that none of these four witnesses with the tape over their mouth are named Biden, Joe, or Hunter. None of them are the supposedly anonymous whistleblower. None of them are James Comey or Clapper or Brennan. Is that accurate? Did you see the billboard?
I no.
Okay.
No, but it sounds accurate to me.
Do you think there's a chance in Hades that that the Republicans are going to cave in on the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck the Schmuck Schumer demands to call additional witnesses when the House had their chance to make their case?
I think it will be interesting to see how the GOP responds to that, and how it's almost like breakfast. There'll be so many waffles in the Senate that it could be a good idea to hear from these people. Unfortunately, you know, we just don't have time.
Well, we've got one. Lisa Murkowski has already come out. But Mitch McConnell, are you kidding me? This guy has turned out to be the iron-fisted ruler of the United States Senate. I can't imagine he's going to be budged by the Lisa Murkowskis of the world.
Yeah, well.
And I don't think Cory Gardner would be foolish enough to weigh in and get in the middle of this with the Republican Party so tightly aligned. And the historical precedent of how impeachments have been done in the past so clearly obvious out there. And besides, the Democrats have already announced we're just going to keep impeaching the mother. If this one doesn't work, we'll just
find something
do
else.
It again. Yeah, yeah. They're making fools of themselves.
Well, I think it's crossing party lines, the foolishness. Mitch made a bad move when he announced that he's in collusion with the White House. And, you know, let's recuse yourself, Judge.
I'm not sure he did. Number one, I think he was inartful in what he said. But I think what he said is that I will be working with the president's lawyers to set up a process that is actually fair to the president in the U.S. Senate, because there was no effort at fairness to the president in the House of Representatives.
Correct.
So maybe a little inartful in the way that he said it, but I think people are inferring too much. Like, I'm just going to work with them to limit the evidence to what they want. And I don't think he was saying all that at all. In fact, He's made it pretty clear we're going to hear from both sides, and then we're going to see if there's anything to proceed on.
Yeah.
Do you think there? Did we talk about this the last time you were here? That whether there should be a full blown trial or not?
No, we didn't.
Do you have?
We're not going to talk about it this morning. No, I agree with you. I just think we're seeing that these people can't keep their mouths shut, and you know, I know Mitch McConnell. And I was working in Kentucky when he was first sent to the Senate.
Yeah.
And, he made arrangements to have me escorted around Washington when I was up there for a meeting. But he's just, he just overstepped. He overspoke. We'd have been much better off if he would have just said, okay, well, we're going to have a fair trial, and we'll hear what you want us to hear, and we'll go from there.
He could have avoided maybe one sentence out of that particular comment,
right?
And but on the other hand, you know, people often accuse the president of being careless with his mouth, and then in retrospect, you look back and see how things play out, And it sounds like a very intentional, planted statement out there to get the Nancy Pelosi's of the world responding in a different way. But who knows? I guess we'll find out.
Right. Soon.
We don't get to vote on it.
No, no. Excuse me.
We have this thing called a cough button.
Is that what it is? Well, you had your laptop over it.
No, I don't.
Couldn't reach it. I have to.
No, it's on your side of the laptop.
Well, this year is ending quite well. Starting January 1st, all state parks are going to require people to reserve campsites within the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Purchasing System. Officials say it's going to provide flexibility to reserve spots from 6 months in advance until the moment you arrive at the park.
How in God's name is that going to work out?
I have no idea.
What are you going to do when you get there and somebody's already set up? Because they didn't reserve. They just paid and went in. Is this going to be like take a number? Is there going to be assigned parking? Any more details to that?
Frightful. Now I have something else to worry about.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Here's that final paragraph from Brett Stevens, a New York Times editorial. Pedantic readers of this column will note that the decade won't really end until December 31, 2020. They're right. We have a year to go before we can render a more final judgment on this decade of disillusion and to begin to sense what comes next.
Okay. Then when does the next decade begin?
Right.
At 2021? Is that when it begins, or it begins at zero and turns one at the end of the year?
On the next break, I'm going to go back and see if I can lock down, because it may be that the calendar started at one, not at zero. Those first 365 days of the calendar that we used, there probably never was a year zero. There was just a year one to two. But as like you said, when we're born, We're not one. We just celebrated my grandson's first birthday a year after his birth, which was really a second birthday. This is very disturbing to me. I've been living my entire life thinking that that I'm 60 now, but in essence, I'm really 61.
If you start at one,
don't you know it? This early morning shift will do that to a guy, I'll tell you.
Well, if you want to go all the way back to the beginning of the calendar, you have to realize the calendar was created and then backtimed. So the Romans decided they would create a calendar and, let's see, when will we start it? Okay, we'll start it here and we'll call it zero. And then we'll fill in the blanks until now where we are. So they back time to zero.
Well, before I dig too deeply into the calendar situation, I'm going to have to look up pedantic.
Okay. Well, if you're going to be out and about over the weekend, you should know that Sunday's going to be the busiest post-Christmas travel day at Denver International Airport. Officials expecting more than 200,000 people to pass through the gates on Sunday. Coast Guard searching for a missing Hawaiian tour helicopter with seven people on board. Helicopter failed to return last night from a tour off the coast of Kauai. Officials said the helicopter was equipped with an electronic locator, but no signals have been received. 'Tis the season for giving back, but in a much different way. UPS expects nearly 2 million packages to be returned on National Returns Day, January 2nd. Retailers say it costs them twice as much than if the item is just returned to the store. And last year, the total came out to about $369 billion in lost sales.
Holy smoke.
Forbes magazine says boxing champ Floyd Mayweather is the top earning athlete of the decade. And don't ask me from when to when. Mayweather earned $915 million in the last 10 years, putting him at number one. In other sports news, Broncos take on the Raiders this Sunday. The team, as you know, was eliminated from playoff contention a couple of weeks
ago. About 14 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they could still spoil Oakland's shot at the postseason. Running back Philip Lindsay could also go over 1,000 yards for the second time in his two-year career.
Yeah, and that'll be one exciting thing to be watching for. And beating the Raiders is always a good day.
Right. College football playoff semifinals kick off tomorrow. Top-ranked LSU faces Oklahoma at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, while Clemson meets Ohio State at the Fiesta Bowl in Arizona. The winners advance to the national championship game on January 13th, and that will be in New Orleans. And today, as you might have expected, is National Fruitcake Day. The fruitcake
that explains an awful lot about the last 20 minutes.
Fruitcake actually dates back to ancient Rome. Some of them still exist, of course. By the way, the phrase nutty as a fruitcake, coined in 1935 because of the huge amount of nuts some southern bakeries added to their fruitcakes because nuts were both plentiful and cheap. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
I can't believe in that entire stack you missed, without a doubt, the national story of the day. I'm going to share it with you.
I was leaving it for you.
I'm going to share it with you right now so you can incorporate it into your next newscast.
Okay.
North Carolina couple calls 911 on vacuum thought to be intruder. And here's the way it appears in the Denver Post this morning. 'Twas the night of Christmas at a North Carolina house. No creature should have been stirring, not even a mouse. But a Forsyth County couple awoke with a fright as something was moving about their house in the night. They dashed to their closet and hid in fear, dialing 911 with a sensitive ear. Responding sheriff's deputies searched the home and found a robot vacuum alone. The source of the square had quick... Okay, whatever. Have you ever seen one of those things work? How do they... The robot vacuums?
The little Roombas?
Yeah, don't they just bounce around
until
they... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well... It's probably a good thing we'll never be doing this again this year, you and I. But it's awfully good to see you.
The whole decade is down the tubes now.
It sure is, which I guess doesn't end until the end of 2020. Will you report back to me on that?
See what I can find out about pedanticism.
Well, it's been good to see you.
You too.
And it's going to be good to get rid of you. Happy New Year to you, Jeff.
All right, you too.
Thank you so very much. At 522, Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyles. 303-696-1971. If you'd like to weigh in, top of the hour, Steve Reams is going to join us, the head of the Sanctuary County Anti-Red Flag Enforcement Movement right here in the state of Colorado. He's been sending me information and helping me with him keep a close eye on what's happening in Virginia because... as you know, the now all Democrat-controlled legislature, Governor's Mansion, et cetera, are talking about the ways they're going to enforce their restrictive gun laws, and they're going to add some to the mix in 2020. And militias are showing up, and there's news out there. They're going to bring in the UN. I think that's probably fake news, but it's just very, very interesting to watch what's happening in Virginia. As we head into the enforcement and the beginnings of enforcement of our new red flag law here in the state of Colorado. So he'll be with us at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll stay with us till then, but we do need to take a break right now, mostly just to give Jeff an opportunity to sneak out of here. We'll be right back at 710 KNUS.
The Peter Boyle Show.
So when you drive, and the years go flying by, I hope you smile. If I ever cross your mind, it was the pleasure of my life.
and I cherished every time. And my whole world, it began.
5:31.
On that highway.
Waiting for the sun as the days get longer. 5 days, including today, till the end of the year. Still trying to sort out whether that means the end of the decade or not. But, you know, let's enjoy these last 5 days of the year. Relax a little bit. Take it a little easier. Save up a little energy. Plan ahead. Because it is going to be game on in 2020. And, of course, the two big things in Colorado, and there's a whole lot of downstream elections and issues and things that will be going on in 2020, but the two biggest are the presidential campaign and the reelection of Senator Cory Gardner. And I stumbled across this morning the Christmas message from Senator Gardner. It's not too long, so I'm going to read it to you and see if you have any complaints about it. What's in there that shouldn't be, or what's missing that, and something that should be in there? Here's what they said. Following Christmas message from Colorado's U.S. Senator Cory Gardner, as discovered in Colorado Peak Politics as I was scrolling through this morning. As we gather to celebrate the holidays, I hope we'll take a moment to thank those amongst us who give so much to our country, to celebrate the blessings of the past year and look forward to the year ahead. Thank you to the service members, men and women across the country and around the globe, who won't be home for Christmas but will be standing on the front lines for our freedom, said Senator Gardner. Surrounded by friends and family, I hope we'll all have a chance to cherish our beloved moments and our favorite memories. Whether it's the Gardner family opening the stockings on Christmas morning or celebrating with the family on Christmas Eve, each and every one of us has a special moment that we look forward to every year. Enjoy the holidays, this special time of the year, and from all of us in the Gardner family to all of you, Merry Christmas, God bless Colorado and this great United States of America. No, that's it. No, I know you're waiting. I know you're waiting for that one missing piece. What is it? 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. I want to talk in a couple of minutes about the Aurora Police Department, Chief of Police, all of the end-of-the-year drama going on over there. But yesterday, Kelly stumbled across this story, and apparently it had been in the Denver Post as well, and is online, and it's just odd. We did a little reaching out to see if we could get some information, if anybody is starting to sort out exactly what these massive 6 feet wingspan drones are doing flying around in Yuma and one other county as my computer goes round and round and round. So maybe we'll jump to the sheriff right now. We'll come back to the drone story when it pops back up there for me. But I imagine you heard this, and I did get people pushing. Maybe it was late last week. When are you going to comment on the Aurora cop who was found drunk in his car, passed out in his car, armed, on duty? Turns out he'd gone home and been drinking vodka before he went back out on the road. And the person who was in line, Deputy Chief Paul O'Keefe, was in line to become the interim chief when Nick Metz steps down here at the end of the year, was the first one on the scene, wrote a report in which he mentioned that he smelled alcohol, but yet he did not have the incident investigated as a DUI, and his excuse for that was because he thought the officer was suffering from a medical episode. And I didn't weigh in on it at the time. There were literally angry text messages coming in saying, "Why aren't you talking about that?" And maybe it's because my DUI commercials are running for my law firm or something. I don't know. But I just didn't know enough about it. I hadn't gotten into the story. And I did text Chief Metz to see if he wanted to talk about it. He's off the radar right now as he wraps up his police chief career. Everybody who's a regular listener to the story, to the station, knows what we went through with the ICE facilities and Michelle Malkin and Tom Tancredo and I putting some pressure on the Aurora Police Department for their lack of protection of the flags and the facility over there at the Aurora Ice facility, and how they rose to the occasion. When we did that Stand with Ice rally on 9/21, still have 9/21 buttons, by the way, the Aurora police were just unbelievable the way that thing was handled. And there were no security issues, and there were no fights, and there were no breakout riots, and there were no burned flags. And we had been assured and promised, and I could sense the outrage from the police officers and the administrators and officials and even the county attorney when we had those conversations. They were outraged at what was allowed to happen at the earlier takedown of the flag, the Blue Lives Matter flag, the American flag, attempted to burn it, all that sick stuff that went on at the ICE facility. And so, you know, I developed a relationship with Nick Metz. I was the first one to have him on the radio here, and he came in several times. The first one to have him on after the controversy. And he came in studio, and some great conversations, I thought, with the outgoing Aurora Chief of Police. And so, you know, I was kind of excited for him to retire after decades in police work, and he's going to be working with his wife. He seems to really care about the well-being of his officers, and that's a very, very important thing. But when I see a report like this, I can guarantee you, having done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DUIs, you know, at our law firm over the last 21 years, that if I went to a district attorney with a discovery, a police report that said, well, I came upon your guy and I did smell alcohol and he was in the car sleeping with a gun. But I decided not to investigate, or I asked the district attorney to, you know, could we just not pursue the DUI? Because here's the thing that most people don't understand about DUI. Once that charge is made, the district attorney cannot make a plea bargain that doesn't include an alcohol-related offense unless they can stand up in front of a judge and tell the judge, basically, you're not under oath, but you're an officer of the court, so you have an ethical duty to tell the judge the absolute truth. And you have to tell the judge as a prosecutor that I have a good faith basis to believe that I will be unable to prove an alcohol-related offense beyond a reasonable doubt. And so if the DUI is charged, you cannot get a non-alcohol-related offense unless there is some serious discrepancy in the testing, the stop was improper, they've got the wrong guy, they've screwed up the paperwork so badly that the place or time, you know, just all of those little things. The reasons people hire lawyers when there's a DUI, since so many of them tend to work through a normal course of plea bargaining and all that, is in the hope that you can find a mistake or, you know, dig up a problem that gives the prosecutor more leverage to make a deal that's more favorable to your client. And even if they wind up having to plead to a lesser alcohol offense, like dropping the DUI to a DWAI, there is still some discretion in what the punishment has to be. How many hours of community service? How big or how small are the fines? Will I have to serve any of that jail sentence, or can all of the jail sentence be suspended so long as I complete probation and classes and community service, whatever else I'm obligated to do? All of those things can be part of the process. So this deputy chief of police, Paul O'Keefe, who knew for sure that if he went ahead and investigated the charge as a DUI, that his cop would have an alcohol-related offense on his record. So he has now dropped out of the opportunity to step in as the interim chief of police while the city manager and city council look for a replacement for Nick Metz. I do wonder, what have they been doing for the last couple of months that they don't have? And maybe they have people in line, they just haven't announced it. But it's going to be an interesting situation now. This guy stepped out and he wrote a Christmas Eve email saying that he hoped his decision to pull out of the interim chief position would help the police department, quote, move beyond the negative depiction currently being broadcast. Well, I'm sorry, Paul O'Keefe, as much as I respect police departments in general and just love how the Aurora police stepped up for the ICE rallies and in a host of other ways when the Antifa and other protesters were protesting in the neighborhood of the warden of the ICE facility. You guys just rose to the occasion. When Tancredo and Michelle Malkin and I contacted you, you had us in, you had the security videos up. We talked for a couple of hours, and it was a good and positive conversation, it seemed like. But how can there be anything but a negative depiction currently being broadcast when you clearly ran interference for this officer? There has not been a counter-narrative to that thing. So it's going to be talk about a hornet's nest. If you were a successful deputy chief of police in another city someplace, and you were being solicited or had submitted an application to become chief of police in Aurora, a fast-growing city with tax revenue, money available to improve your force, and lots of opportunities for change and improvement, would you want to walk into this cluster? Would you want to just step in and I probably would. I would love that kind of a challenge. But man, oh man, you are walking into a place that is under extremely, extremely high scrutiny. When you see police shootings and justification for those shootings is being challenged, and then you see what appears to be just flat out covering for one of your own, probably have to be off the force. I don't know what the rules are for cops if they get a DUI, but a DUI on the job. Plus, if you get a DUI and you have even a legal gun on you or in the car, then that's a felony. That's a gun charge. And so the interference, the protection that was run for this cop who was drinking and then went back on into his car and on the job it seems pretty outrageous to me. And again, I did reach out to Nick Metz. I think he's probably likely to stay mum right through the end of his tenure there. And probably if I were advising him, that's a good idea as well. But bad, bad times over there at the Aurora Police Department. And I really do. My law firm is in Aurora. I was born in Denver, but I have fondness for Aurora. And now this kind of personal connection to see how we were able to influence the police department to really do the right thing and perform at such a high level at those ICE protests. And this is a big, big concern. So we'll keep tabs on it as well. And if anybody has any other information about this thing, love to hear it. 303-696-1971. Peter Boyle Show continues. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams at 6 o'clock. I'm Randy Corcoran in at 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Been flying solo for so long.
552, Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyles. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams standing by to join us at the top of the hour with Red Flag just around the corner. Text messages coming in this morning. Randy, thanks for bringing up the issues with the Aurora Police Department. It is very frustrating for the people who have gone through a DUI to see this officer get a slap on the wrist when I and many others have lost everything over one. That's a legit concern, and I see it all the time in my law practice. Since time is so short, let me just share a really beautiful story with you. A 74-year-old Vietnam War veteran with a terminal illness living in Tampa, Florida, was asked what his final wish would be, and he said, "I'd love to make a snow angel before I die." Somebody brought in 8 tons of ice, I guess, and turned it into snow in his front yard. And there's this beautiful video, which I have retweeted on my Twitter account at Randy Corcoran, of this old guy making a snow angel out there with just the greatest look of joy on his face. And I don't know. If you want to get a smile on your face, take a look at that one. In the meantime, we're going to depress you. Red flag on the way. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams is next on The Peter Boyle Show.